Hey, welcome, everybody. Brother Goodwin here. Glad to have you with us today on today's program of Prophecy in the Spotlight, where we shine the light of the Bible on prophecy. And today's no different. We're going to be talking about what's not in Genesis 6. What is not in Genesis 6? You know what Genesis 6 is about, right? The fallen angel stuff, right? Man, we've got a great show for you. Doc is sitting right here. I'm raring to go. I want to read a verse for you, and then we're gonna go to the studio here. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 37 says this: "But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." And we're going to tie that into today's program a little bit about the fallen angel stuff. People call them the Nephilim, whatever. Doc's got some great stuff for us today that's going to shed some light on this thing called Genesis 6 and this controversial passage about the sons of God. All right, so fasten your seatbelt. Call your neighbor and say, hey, the process spotlights get on. Get your TV on. And if you're watching via YouTube, share this. Hit that like button. Comment on the page. And share it on your social media. It'll help get it out there, okay? All right, we'll be right back. Hey, welcome, everybody. Glad to have you with us. Doc, before we get started, I want you to share with the viewers about your Walk Through Time with Doc YouTube channel.
Yes, we have a blog or whatever it is, and it's called Walk Through Time with Doc. You can find it on several different places, Spotify, I don't know, YouTube, Facebook, you name it.
Yeah.
My grandson takes care of all of that, and what I do is I started in Genesis verse number 1, and now I made it to chapter number 6 of Genesis, and in about 20 different sessions, and I'm walking through time. It may be a couple of 3 years time we get through. I think we'll have rapture before I get through.
It's a great show. I finally got to it. It's a shame on me. I should have been on this a lot sooner, but I've just recently posted it to our page.
Mm-hmm.
And I know there's already some more subscribers since I did that, and I'll continue to do that. I watched the first one I watched was the one on on what's not in Genesis 6.
Yes,
and of course you know I wrote the book, The Great End Time Distraction,
and it is a that's exactly what it is. This supposed controversy. I said in that program that it's probably the most controversial passage in the Bible.
Yeah. Yep, I remember hearing you say that. And, you know, there wasn't anything that I hadn't heard before, but you come across, you hit it different.
And well, that's why everybody sees things. Everybody comes at things a little different.
Yeah, and you had another way of shining light on some of these things that I thought was good. And I thought, man, let's do a show. I love the title, What's Not in Genesis. Now, there's also a What Is in Genesis.
Yes, 6. I broke it down. Because I'm trying to keep the walkthrough time with Doc programs, 20, 25 minutes at least. Chapter 6, when I got into it, actually was 38 minutes for the what's not in the text. Then the second one is what is in the text. And then the third one is what about that ark? And then the next one is what about that flood? And so
these are great little titles.
I broke that up, and we'll be putting that all together in a video presentation when it's all said and done. But I broke it into four sections, and so because what people are trying to put into the text is not in the text.
That's right,
and that's why I started that series with what's not in the text.
Now we talked about it before the show. I said, you know, we may want to do that second part next week or a week later or whatever, maybe a couple weeks later. I don't know. I think this is important. I know some people, really good. Why do you guys talk about that so much? Because it's such an issue.
And it, you read a while ago a very important prophecy. Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be before the coming of the Son of Man. So if you don't honestly know what he's talking about.
Well, it's easy. It says that that in those days there'll be fallen angels marrying women.
Uh-huh.
That's what it says,
sure.
Right?
Uh-huh.
It says no such thing.
That's what I'm saying. If you don't know, and then if you don't understand how and why Bible teachers have brought into the text what's not in the text, it'll help you have an understanding. Because you've talked with people, you've told me about it, you've talked to people, they'd argue with you until the sun went down that the book of Enoch was written by the Enoch of the Bible.
Yeah.
They really believe that.
And I have to take them to, I said, well, hold on, let's go look at that. I'll go to Jude and I'll read it. And I'll say, that doesn't say that Enoch wrote a book. It says Enoch prophesied.
That's right. And so, but they've never bothered to discover where really did the book of Enoch come into existence.
Yeah.
And so that's some of the things that we'll look at slides today.
We are a viewer-supported program, and we want you to know that your gifts and donations are very, very appreciated. You keep us on the air.
Amen.
We joke about it. We started with no money, and we still pretty much got no money. We got a few thousand in there, but not much.
That's just enough to pay for the next.
We ain't even got enough to jump the country and go to Hawaii, Doc. I mean, we're stuck here. We get no salary. We each have our own ministries on the side, and all the money that comes in goes to keep us on the air.
Yes.
I want to get Doc going here. We got 21 minutes left. We got 9 slides.
I believe it is.
So, Doc, let me turn this over.
Yeah. Well, put the first slide up there if you want. And so what we find is when you read the text in Genesis chapter number 6, after the first 4 verses, and it talks about the sons of God, this is where the controversy comes in. I made this statement. I am still looking for the word angel in the text. I do find man or men is found 10 times, and then his or them or his 4 times, but angels, whether they're holy or unholy, 0 times.
Mm-hmm.
So when people say, well, the sons of God are fallen angels, if that is the case, why is all of the condemnation and judgment on men?
Mm-hmm.
Why is it stressed that way? And so the you know, this popular thing associated with it that's out there today, this idea that you know, with the fallen angels and cohabiting with women and all of this kind of stuff. And, of course, they like to use the Hebrew term Nephilim and all of those kind of things. They are saying that as it was in the days of Noah, where you read in Matthew a while ago, means that there's going to be a return of fallen angels in their activities as it was in those days.
And it's not there.
It's not in the text.
No,
never there. Has been.
And it's interesting, Doc. In Genesis 3, when man fell, God, you know, Adam, what have you done? The woman. Okay, Eve, what did you do? All right, well, Satan, the serpent. Yeah. In Genesis 6,
nothing there.
Judgment on mankind.
On mankind.
Nothing said about angels at all.
And honestly, it's because the fallen nature. And you've got, people need to go back and walk through time with Doc and look at chapter 4 and 5. I painted the picture to help people understand. If you don't understand chapter 4 and chapter 5 as a parenthesis stuck in from the kicking out of the garden until when you get to when men began to multiply, verse number 1 of chapter 6, you don't get it.
Yeah.
That's the problem. Because what started with the fall of man, able to use 100% of his brain power under the canopy in which they were living in those days, the imagination of the hearts of men that was wicked, only evil continually, had brought humanity to this place of judgment. Did not require some supposed interjection into humanity with fallen angels.
Okay.
Zero. So put that next slide up there, if you would. And I may have a little hard time reading them. I didn't write them off for myself. And what you need to understand is the book of Enoch. The book of Enoch, which is where everybody runs to, Dan, for all of this.
Yeah.
The book of Enoch is really a book that came into existence, not by Enoch.
Yeah.
And anybody that has studied this knows it. You can get on the internet, do your own research, get all the books out you want to get and research it. And here's what's going to happen. What happened between Malachi and Matthew? How many times did God speak, the Bible says? How many times did God give an open revelation in 400 years?
None.
Okay. So if God gave no revelation, the book of Enoch came into existence somewhere between 300 and 200 B.C. That's in the middle of the 400 years when God did not speak.
Yeah, we call that the 400 silent years.
Silent years. Yeah. So here's what's happening. People are running to a book that was written by whoever, some Jewish fabulists, somebody in the Jewish rabbinical order somewhere in the years between the Malachi and Matthew, put together this book, and everybody that has studied the factor understands that they attached Enoch's name to it. Not an uncommon thing in those days or even in these days. You have people today who write material under a pseudonym.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what happened. Look at the next slide. And you can check some of these things out for yourself. And so people are going to say, oh, well, the Bible says the book of Enoch. No, the Bible doesn't say Enoch wrote a book. You mentioned it a while ago.
Yeah.
Writing or prophesying doesn't mean that he wrote a book. So you're telling me that Enoch's book that he wrote, by the way, Enoch would have been living in the middle between Adam and Noah, time-wise.
Yeah.
So he wrote a book, and that book was preserved, and Noah brought that book on the ark. You read about that in the Bible, didn't you?
Yeah.
Have you ever read about that in history? This is foolishness.
Yeah.
And so people that were writing the book of Enoch, somehow or another, it came into existence. If it was God giving it, then why does the Bible tell us that God gave no open revelation?
Yeah.
They look at the book of Enoch as a revelation to give an understanding to Scripture. No, it's a fable. And it was something that was contended, not accepted by everybody in those times or even the early church age.
And we have to realize, Doc, that these were found in the Dead Sea Scrolls.
Yes.
And they were not in English. Somebody, and many somebodies, have translated.
Oh, yes.
There's more than one book. There's more than one translation.
Well, theoretically, it's kind of like the book of Quran that the Islamists use. They've got this book and that book, and it all goes together. So when we say that there are more than one book, honestly, they may be written as an addendum or another chapter to it.
Yeah.
And when we say more than one book, because there are more than one, kind of like an addendum added to it. So somewhere along the line, why everybody has all of a sudden thought, wow, I've got to run to the book of Enoch. Evidently, God inspired it. Evidently, it should have been in the canon of Scripture. Not realizing the controversy over it within Judaism for the 200 years before the birth of Christ,
yeah,
and even after.
Okay.
Well, there's another slide. And these are slides that came from my presentation.
Can you read the one over there a little bit?
Not really. No? Can't read it very well. I can remember. But when I got on AI and I asked Gork. People say, well, you shouldn't use AI. Well, why not? It's a tool.
It's like looking at commentaries.
Don't use your money, because it's nothing but a tool. That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
And it has the ability to draw from the huge pool of information that is in the digital world. And so instantaneously it can draw from all of these. It's amazing the information that is given there. It is obvious this book was written in the 2nd century B.C. And even Gork says that it is not verifiable, and what is in it does not compare with what's in the text of Genesis chapter 6.
Right. Yep.
There are no angels in Genesis chapter 6.
Yep. The sons of God and the daughters of men.
In my next session that I did on what is in the text, I deal with what is a son of God. But you got to understand, Dan, one of the biggest problems is people will not properly follow laws for biblical interpretation.
Yeah.
That's the bottom line. They want to pick and choose. They want to interject into what's not there. And one of the greatest laws of Bible prophecy, you can put the next slide up. One of the biggest problems is to not follow the laws that is out there in the Bible, that the first usage,
yeah,
God doesn't jump all over the place, but however God used it in the first is the way God's going to use it every way through the Bible. So you got the crowd that says, well, no, that's Old Testament.
Yeah, that's what they say. They said the sons of God in the Old Testament is angels.
Yeah.
Sons of God in the New Testament is the redeemed. It's not true.
The sons of God are redeemed people. It's
yeah.
very obvious.
Yeah.
I mean, you find in the book of Hebrews, God said, at what time have I ever called an angel my son? And people say, well, that's in the context of the son of God and all of this stuff in that reference. The statement is plain. At what time have I called any angel
yeah.
my son?
Yeah.
A son of God, you find throughout the scripture, listen, if you believe that God cannot be consistent, that means how am I going to know consistently wherever I read what I'm reading about is God's same mind on the same subject? How are you going to know it?
Yeah,
who gave you the right to be the authority over what God yeah. has said?
I often put it this way. I say, let's use the word door, and I'll say, what is a door in the New Testament? A door. What's a door in the Old Testament? A door. Mm-hmm. A door is a door is a door. It doesn't yeah. matter if it's Genesis or yeah. Revelation.
Yeah. And that's true.
Yeah.
But the law of consistency, however God uses something, God does not contradict himself.
And that is the first mention of the sons of God.
That is.
Genesis 6.
It is.
And it's the same throughout the Bible. There's one place out of the 11 times it's used.
11 times.
I write about that. 11 yes. times exactly. Not son of God, sons of
That's
God.
That's right.
All 11 times, 10 of them, it's always the redeemed. The 11th one is in Job 38. Mm-hmm. It's mm-hmm. one that people go to yep. try to prove their point. They think the sons of God there is angels. It's not. It's no. a metaphor.
It's a metaphor, and or it could even be referring to the handiwork, because in its context is the handiworks of the heavens.
Yeah, the sons of God, that passage yeah. is a metaphor. It's the sun, the moon, the stars.
Yeah, could be, or it could be the redeemed of men looking at the handiwork of God. So, but it has nothing to do with an angel being a son of God.
Yeah.
Sons of God are always referred to, and even after the, in one of the slides, I don't know if it's the one that we just put up, the next one there and let me see. But anyway, we do find that this is one of the things that people argue about. They say that they left their first habitation
yeah.
because Jude talks about that. So here's what they're going to tell you. They're going to say that means that fallen angels, because they fell and left their habitation, now all of a sudden they have the ability to have changed who they are.
Yeah.
No.
So in other words, they created themselves differently.
I guess.
Crazy.
Habitation, and you can check it out for yourself in the Webster's 1828 dictionary. He says, an act of inhabiting, a state of dwelling, or a place of abode.
Yeah.
Jude is not talking about...
They're kicked out of heaven, I believe.
They were kicked out of their habitation.
Yeah. Yeah.
Does not mean that they are anything different than they were originally created. They did not all of a sudden develop the ability. Put up the next slide. They didn't have the ability to procreate. They never did. The Bible is clear that we wrestle against flesh and blood. He's talking about a spiritual realm. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 15:50, he says, now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
Angels, as we have pointed out, and you have in your angels have no flesh and blood.
Right.
Angels are ministering spirits. They were created in a set number without the ability to procreate. When they asked the Lord about whose wife somebody's going to be in heaven, he said, they neither are married nor given in marriage, and he talks even about the angels. Why? Because angels have no ability to marry and marry. They have no ability to procreate. So if they left their habitation, it does not mean that all of a sudden they developed the ability to produce offspring.
Mm-hmm.
Absolute an impossibility.
Yeah.
Look, put up the next slide. And we've got another one. Yes. The seed of life comes from the blood of the man. You cover that in your book, if I remember right.
Yeah, and people don't understand this.
This is important.
The blood of the woman that's going to have that baby
never
enters that baby. Never.
That's right.
It comes from the seed of the
Absolutely.
Man.
Absolutely.
That's
yes.
why they talk about test tube baby.
Yes.
The mother's only there to keep the baby safe, to provide
right.
food. That's why you can grow a baby in a test tube without a mother.
Right.
There's no blood that comes from the mother.
Yes. But anyway, put that slide back up now. Angels have no blood, and they were never, ever created to procreate, period. They were created ministering spirits in a set number. The Bible says an innumerable number.
Well, think of it this way, Doc. If the blood comes from the Father, and it does, and angels have no blood, then how do they produce a baby in the womb of a human woman?
Well, when they left their habitation, they were able to get blood into their system.
I hope people are seeing the sarcasm, because the way you say
it's absolutely ludicrous.
It's silly.
And it's silly that theologically students of theology would fall for this.
Yep.
It's absolutely ludicrous.
It's because fairy tale, sci-fi stuff is exciting.
Yes.
And we've all grown up in the Star Trek, Star
yes,
Wars
indeed.
Generation,
yep.
and this stuff draws us away.
It does. And here's what it does. It does exactly the title of your book. It is an end-time distraction.
Yep.
It's distracting people from the real purpose of our Christian duty. And in that session, I went on and said the sensational extra-biblical idea of angels producing offspring with earthly women is preposterous.
Yeah.
It is. It is absolutely impossible. So here's what it would do, and you can see it on the screen. This would violate two things. Number one, this would violate both biblical and biological law, because the Bible says everything reproduces after its kind.
So in other words, if an angel could have a baby, he could only have a baby with another angel.
I guess.
Yeah, just like a dog and a cat cannot reproduce.
Yep. Yep.
A horse and a moose can't reproduce.
It biologically, it's impossible.
Yep.
And theologically, it is impossible.
Yeah.
Because God established the law that everything reproduces after its kind. So in our next session, that says there, in my next session, I talk about what is in the text.
Yeah.
And there is a lot in the text along these very lines, because God is going to make it plain that it is fallen man's wicked thoughts of his imagination that has caused him to become such a wicked world. And if you understand that in light of Genesis chapter 4 and 5, you understand why God steps in like he steps in.
So
I got one more slide.
Is there just one more?
Yeah, there's one more. And I just added this so you can see it.
Oh, this is good.
You know, the same upside-down thinking is seen in today's gender madness. Here's a title in a news clip just yesterday. Culture Wars said this: majority of Democrats believe difference between men and women are not biological.
Yeah.
That makes as much sense as the Bible teacher who says this is fallen angels in Genesis chapter 6.
Yeah.
It's still as ludicrous.
I've said so often, I believe you said this on your YouTube, Doc.
Yeah, it was 38 minutes long.
I think you made the statement that I say so often. You said it differently, but you were basically saying, if you're wrong about Genesis 6,
yes,
you'll have a problem with some things later on.
That's why everybody has a problem with what we started with in what Jesus said.
Yeah.
If you don't know what was in the days of Noah, then you don't know what to be looking for at the coming of Christ.
Because here's what he says in Matthew: but as the days of Noah, so also should be the coming of the Son of Man. And then he explains it.
Yes.
For in the days of Noah, there was these fallen angels walking around.
Yeah.
Doesn't say that, does it?
No.
It says they were, before the flood, they were eating, drinking, marrying, and giving in marriage.
That's right.
In other words, they were living as if there was no God. He was not in their thoughts.
Exactly.
That's what he's saying.
Right. And if you can't see that the thoughts of the imagination of the hearts of man today is wicked, only evil continually. And with AI now aiding man to use something, he's going to get worse and worse and worse, just like they did in those days.
All right, we're winding down to the last 30 seconds.
Yeah.
Good stuff. Doc did a good job on this. You can find his channel on YouTube, Walk Through Time with Doc. And you can watch the 38-minute clip that we pulled some of that out for the show today. We're going to do that second show, I think, because I think this is important. I know people say, well, why do you do this all the time? Because this thing is all the prophecy people out there, all the TV guys, they're all talking about these fallen angels. Somebody's got to hold up the wave the white flag and say, wait a minute. Well, we're out of time. We'll see you next time. Keep your eyes on them skies.